Welcome to the Nations Church Belmont podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
How many were out yesterday for the LoveCom festival? We had an amazing day. Do you know Nations Church was able to minister to and bless over 650 families yesterday? How good is that? From the community. People from the community. I love that because that's what God has called us to do. And it was just so good seeing all these families. And we were able to give them a gift. Every family, every child got a great gift. And we were also able to give every family two boxes of quality chocolates that I hand selected. I'm not a big chocolate person, to be honest, but... and we were also able to give them a gift voucher for $70 each. How good is that to bless our community? And for all those who are involved, thank you. But hey, this is just the beginning. We are just beginning to roll out what God wants to do at Christmas. We're just beginning to challenge our faith to say, come on, this is a new season. This is a new opportunity to step out and see Jesus magnified this Christmas, because that's what it's all about. That is exactly what it's all about. You know, I just love what God is doing. And I have the privilege of being the missions pastor. So this year, just about every month this year, I've led a team somewhere in the world. We have been all over the world. And to be honest, I have never seen God moving like He is moving. There is a open window that is opening over the planet. Yeah. Come on. Wow. Yeah. Everywhere we go, we are just seeing God. We have seen literally hundreds of people saved. We have seen literally hundreds of people baptized in the Holy Spirit. We have seen more miracles than I can count, because God is starting to do it. And we want to see Him do it in Australia. Amen. Yeah. Come on, how many believe God can do it in Australia? We're starting to see it in Australia, but I am telling you, there is so much more. And today, I want to charge you. I want to inspire you. This Christmas is our opportunity to see God do what only He can do. I don't want to see Him just doing it all over the world where we're seeing multitudes bowing to the name of Jesus. I want to see it happening in my nation, the nation I love. I want to see it happening in our community. I want to see it happening in Belmont. I have prayed so much for Belmont over the years. I want to see an outbreak of the Spirit of God in the city of Belmont. Amen? And we hold the key. We hold the key to that. We can say, yeah, rah, rah, and do nothing. You know, we were in Ireland just recently, where we launched our new campus, our Cork campus, and it was amazing. When we got there, we did 2 days on the streets handing out invitations to an information night. And come the information night, we have one new person come. Previn, you would know, you were there. One new person. And I know Pastor Roland and Leanne were a bit, you know, oh man, after all this work. But the next evening, and the Friday night, the information night was Thursday, Friday night, we were invited to go to this coffee shop. This coffee shop was owned by a Christian who has a heart to reach people, but it's a secular coffee shop. It's on the street where people come in and get their coffee and do their thing. And we were invited to go to this open mic on Friday night. And he said to us, you know, if you want to pray for people, that's okay. If you want to say something, that's okay. But he said, it's just people in off the street. I went, okay, yeah, no worries. So we sat there, Previn, this is true. We sat there for an hour listening to these Irish people play the piano and play the guitar and sing, and some of the old songs, you know, so drunk, drunk, drunk. Let's get drunk, drunk, drunk. And we're all going, yeah, And after about an hour of sitting there listening to this, I just felt God say, get one of our young people up to sing, Moati. She's a worship leader at Nations. She started to sing, and Previn, you were there. The presence of God fell in that place. You could feel the tangible presence of God. Within a very short time, there were bodies all over the floor. There were people getting saved. There were people getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. One lady who had suffered for years with terminal cancer had so many operations. They'd given up hope. She could only take food through a straw. Got prayed for. God instantly healed her. The pain went. Everything went. Incidentally, that was medically verified a month ago. She went and had the whole suite of medical tests, everything. There is no cancer in her body. She is totally free and she is loving and worshiping Jesus. She dances into church because she knows what God has done. There were people everywhere getting touched by God. People coming in off the street, just walking into the coffee shop and seeing all these bodies on the floor and going, what they doing down there? What they? So they've just encountered Jesus. Would you like to? Oh. It was amazing. But hey, if God can do it there, He can do it here. He's the same God. It's the same power. It's, you know what I loved? There were 13 people on our team, and they were just ordinary people from Nations Church. Every one of them got involved in praying for people. Every one of them got involved in prophesying and ministering and believing together. And we saw God just break out in miracles. We saw God because everybody got involved. Everybody lent their faith. Everybody went, I don't care about my fear. I don't care about my how trained or untrained I am. I serve the same God, and I'm going to glorify Him, and I'm going to believe Him to do what only He can do. And He did what only He can do. It was amazing. And I know God wants to do it here. I know. And it was so good seeing so many of those people in that coffee shop turn up to our first service. You don't need to hand out flyers on the street when the Holy Spirit touches people. And it's not wrong to hand out flyers, but God just had a different way then. But you know what? It's the heart behind it. It's the desire behind it. It's the faith behind it. It's people actually deciding to step out and do what God's called us to do. You know, we are all, every one of us is invited to be a part of what God's doing. Every one of you, your neighbor, you, all of us, there is no exception. We're all invited. In fact, that's not a correct statement. Let me rephrase this. God has chosen you and commissioned you and commanded you to go and share the gospel. That is not an option. Every one of us who know the love and the grace and the wonder of Jesus have been commissioned, have been appointed, have been called, have been anointed to go and do it. We just got to go. We just got to do it. That's why Jesus came. In Isaiah 61, it says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing and teaching, and there are no exceptions to that. That is all of us. There is nobody here who is not qualified that has given their heart to Jesus. We're Christ's ambassadors, called to represent Him in our lives. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord in Luke 4 is on me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the privileged, prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. We're called to be like Jesus. He said we would do greater things than He would do. We were in the Philippines, and this lady, she was a drug dealer. She got saved, and she used to deal drugs to all the street kids. So she ran off and she bought one of these girls who she dealt drugs with, who was completely blind. She had no, just a white in this eye. And she said, can you pray for her? We prayed for her. God created an eye in her head. She started screaming and jumping up and down and going, this is the first time in ever I can see, I can see. For 2 hours, she cried and screamed and yelled and carried on because God did a miracle. The funny thing was, there was another man standing there, not even a Christian, watching about where Ty is. He's just watching all this happen. He's profoundly deaf. Nobody prays for him. God just pops open his ears. He starts jumping and leaping. And going, it's so loud. I can hear. I can hear. What is going on? God is doing it. We just need to be a part of what God wants to do. But you know, when it comes to being called, I was thinking about Jonah recently. Good old Jonah. Jonah was a prophet. in about the year 750 to 800. And Jonah was asked by God to go. He was commissioned, just like us, to go and to preach in a place called Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a place in Damascus, and Damascus had been ruling over Israel's northern part for a long time. And Israel had just reestablished their borders and just got rid of these oppressors from Damascus. And now God says to him, go to Nineveh, which is a city in Damascus. In Jonah 1, it says, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because the wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. When we don't do what God asks, we're not just running from what he asks us to do, we're running from him. It says, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. You know, how dumb can you be and still breathe? You know, but it's easy to look at Jonah. He doesn't want to go and do what God's asked him to do because he thinks it's a bit tough. You know, it's easy to look at him and go, Jonah, you're a prophet, man. You love God, right? You serve God. Man, you're in the Bible. What's your problem? What are you doing? We can be a bit hard on old Jonah. But I think there's a bit of Jonah in all of us. Am I allowed to say that? Because maybe Jonah is afraid. Just maybe he doesn't know how people are going to respond. Maybe he thinks, I don't even know them. They're not my people. And they've certainly not been friendly in the past. They've been our oppressors. They've been people that have judged us. And maybe he's thinking, man, this is going to take me way too far out of my comfort zone. I don't feel confident. It's not comfortable. Maybe he thought that he just wasn't capable. Anybody feel a little bit of Jonah surfacing? Jonah did ultimately what he thought was best for Jonah. And it wasn't to do with the kingdom of God, but it was to do with his feelings. Just imagine if God hadn't been gracious to Jonah. Thank God he was gracious to Jonah. There was 120 people that were relying on him to hear from God. How many people are relying on you and me? God turned him. He ended up in a fish's belly. God turned him and he preached. And that whole city came to Jesus. Do you know what? God has a Nineveh for every one of us. Maybe your Nineveh is a family member. Maybe your Nineveh is a neighbor. Maybe your Nineveh is a work colleague. Maybe your Nineveh is a complete stranger. But God says, hey, go and bless them or talk to them. Maybe your Nineveh is a city. We all have a Nineveh. But see, Jonah refused to see what God saw. His heart wasn't aligned. He didn't understand how much God cares for people, how much he loves people. He came for people. Oh my goodness, if ever you want a reminder of that, it's Christmas, where the Holy One came, humbled himself as a baby. Why? Because the heart of God was to love and redeem people. It was to heal people and take people out of their fear and anxiety and give them a hope and give them a future and give them a purpose. It's Emmanuel, God with us, his kingdom manifest so that the grace and the glory and the beauty and the wonder of our Father can be seen and felt by people who need a Savior. Jonah just didn't see that. God in his mercy provided an opportunity for his life to be redirected And you know, there's something God wants to do in every one of us. I just recently came back from Bangladesh. Bangladesh is a strongly Islamic nation. You can get your throats cut on the street for preaching the gospel. It is illegal. They will slit your throat. And it happened while we were there. Not to me. That was a shaving cut. That's not... No. And we got the opportunity. And a lady from one of our campuses came to me and said, my husband really feels to go and I know that I should go, but to be honest, I'm scared stiff. She's quite a well-off lady. And she said, I don't know how I'm going to cope in a developing country. I don't know. I don't know whether I can cope like outside of my everything I've got. And she said, beside that, I serve in church. I love Jesus, but I'm a kind of behind-the-scenes person. She said, I'm shy and I don't speak and I haven't got much to say. I just love serving behind the scenes. And she said, Pastor, I'm really scared. I said, don't worry, you just come and I'll look after you. You know, I watched her as time went on. She felt God wanted to give her testimony, which she did. The anointing of God just fell. And I watched that lady from then on begin to preach, begin to prophesy, begin to declare, begin to lay her hands on the sick. I watched her and I watched the anointing of God come upon her. She said to me, I've never felt the presence of God like this, that the Holy Spirit has just come alive in me. I'm just so alive to the presence and that I just know God with me and the Holy Spirit with me. I just watched her come alive as she stepped out of her comfort zone and went, Jesus, you do what I can't do. You be in me, and oh my goodness, you know, I look at those people over there, and we did a conference for about 50 senior pastors who, they oversight hundreds of pastors each. In fact, they oversight 3,700 churches in Bangladesh. And I watched the power of God come on them. I watched them get baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were non-Pentecostal people. I watched the power of God fall on them. You know what their vision is for the next 3 years? It's to plant 3,000 more churches in Islamic Bangladesh. Come on, God is doing something. He's everywhere I go, I see Him working in the world. And then we had an opportunity to speak into the life of these Islamic people who had come to Jesus because one man, I don't know what his position or his title was, but somewhere people went to him to get help. And he was a Jesus follower. They don't call themselves Christians. It's too dangerous. But he was a Jesus follower. And what he would do, he'd try and help them. And then he'd slip them a Bible. You know, we did this conference, maybe 50 of these people. They all came to Jesus simply because somebody had dared to give them a Bible. And as they opened the pages of the Bible for the first time in their lives, they discovered a God who loved them, a God who cared for them, a God who was reaching out to them, a God who sent His Son to set them free. And these people have embraced Jesus. They've lost family. They've lost friends. Some of them have had their partners with their throats cut, tongues cut out. They have planted, as new Christians, 195 underground churches. Wow. With you, they know nothing about worship, never worshipped in their life. They don't know anything about communion. They don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. They just know there's a Savior who saved them. Who came to give His life for the world. And they're out there. You know what their vision is? Their vision is to plant a further 3,000 churches in the next 3 years. That's 6,000 churches in Islamic Bangladesh in the next 3 years. Come on, Australia, what are we doing? Come on. There's a world out there to be won. There's a Savior with His grace and His power that wants to redeem. And He's called us. You don't have to go on a missions trip, but you need to go. You need to go and encounter what God has. You see, God's plan has always involved the gospel. There is no hope outside the gospel. The gospel is good news. It's people being saved. It's people being healed. It's people being redeemed. It's people being restored. It's people having an eternal future. It's good news. God's plan was always around the gospel. That's why he says, go. We don't have to worry about the results. Leave the results to him. We just have to go. Jonah couldn't save Nineveh, but the Holy Spirit was brooding, ready to do it if he would just open his mouth and declare, speak. You know, we've been talking about Jonah as an individual and you as an individual, but do you know, as an individual, it just doesn't matter what you say, but it matters what you do, because you influence collectively the plan and the purpose of God. Did you know that? You influence God's whole plan. You see, sometimes we can be tempted to think, well, I'm just little old me. You know, it doesn't really matter, does it? What difference can I make? You make a heck of a difference. You do. You are so important. If only you could see it. You are so important. And what you do impacts what God can do. Not just through you individually, but what God does through us collectively. Do you understand that? Let me show you that. See, I've just come back from Cambodia last week with a whole bunch of year 12 leavers. And we saw God do some beautiful things. But while we're up there, they have their annual water festival. The water festival is where you go out in the streets, you're going to get wet. It's 3 days, it's like public holiday, and you walk in this, you're going to get wet. Everything is water. But the key thing that happens there is that they have these boat races on the Mekong River, which flows right through the middle of Phnom Penh. And these canoes, they're like canoes, but they're the length of this building. Wow. They are massive. And in a canoe, they have 40 or 50 rowers that sit side by side. So there's two wide and 25 or 30 long. And they have somebody up the front. And these boats are so beautifully decorated, because what they're trying to do is make a statement. They do these races because they want, number one, people to see the beauty of their boat. And number two, they want to win. They come from all over Southeast Asia. They come from Laos and Thailand and the surrounding country. They come from everywhere to race and to display these boats. And boy, when they get going, they get going. They go quick. They train for so long. It is such a prestigious event, because they want to represent their nation. They want to represent their province. They want the people to be proud. But here's a scenario. Let me ask you a question. Can you imagine if 20% of the rowers were busting themselves while the other 80% just sat there enjoying the view, holding their oar? What kind of glory are they bringing? What are they actually displaying to all of the hundreds of thousands of people that line the banks and are cheering? Who would want to join that team? Who would want to be a part of that? What kind of honor are they bringing to anything, anywhere? Just 20% of people who've busted their boogoos and come last. You see, when it comes to the gospel, we've all been given an oar. When we got saved, Jesus has given every one of us an oar. How's your oar looking? Is it wet? Is it well used? Or are you relying on others to do the work and try and represent the glory of Jesus, while others look on and go, what are they doing? They don't even believe. They're not serious. Ouch. You know why collectively it's important? Let me tell you collectively. Psalm 133 is such a powerful psalm. It says, how good and pleasant it is when brethren, when God's people live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the beard, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life evermore. That sounds like eternal life to me, right? That sounds like the fruit of salvation to me. God's blessing it. And see, when it says how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity, it's not just saying, hey, it's fantastic when we all get together. You see, this is my wife. Can you just stand up for a sec? I love my wife. You know what? We can be together, but not together together. So many marriages, people are together. So many churches, people are together, but they're not together together. You see, when you are together together, you're not just in the same proximity, but you're together in heart. You're together in vision. You're facing the same direction, putting the energy in to fulfill God's purpose together. You are loving together. You are valuing together. Do you understand the difference? See, God doesn't command a blessing just because we're together. God commands the blessing when we are together, together. The same heart, the same passion, the same commitment, the same love. That's where God, thank you, sweetie, bestows the blessing. Yeah? That's where we experience. When it talks about the oil, it's talking about the Holy Spirit. If you want to know the flow and the power and the grace and the beauty of the Holy Spirit, it's when we're together, together, that God then commands the blessing. When God pours out the oil, it says that it flows from the head. Who is the head? The head is Jesus. What is Jesus' heart? What is Jesus' directive? What is the head telling the body to do? He's telling it to go, go, go. That's what he's doing, the head. And when the body lines up with the head, then the oil flows down the body. And the anointing comes and God does. What only God can do. That's why he bestows the blessing. That the fruit of that is life evermore. You see, that is a canoe where everybody is rowing. Everybody is looking in the same direction. Everybody is compelled with a compassion of love to reach the final line, the finishing line. Is this making sense? You matter. You matter. Your all matters. What you do matters to the anointing. It matters to the kingdom. It matters to Jesus. And he so blessed us by giving us an all. That's why the Bible uses so much language that goes from I to we. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Yeah, we will serve the Lord. It's not my Father, Jesus in the Lord's Prayer. It's our Father, because it's a collective we. It's all of us. Our part, reaching our Nineveh to see the glory of God come, to see his power and his wonder. You want to see miracles? You want to see the anointing? You want to see the grace of God? We do it together. We do it together. Every one of us. That's what happened in the books of Acts. What does it say in Acts 2? They were all what? Together in one accord. They were together, together. It's there the Holy Spirit fell, and in verse 44 of that same chapter, the fruit of that was 3,000 people being added to the church that day. See, that's together, together. That's anointing. That's the grace of God as people together, together. Flow with what God has called us to do and who He's called us to be. You don't have to be a preacher. You just have to share the gospel. You just have to live the gospel. It needs to burn in our hearts so that together people look on and go, wow, look at that canoe. Man, look at those people. Man, I want to be a part of that team. Man, what's different about them? They are so passionate, so committed. They know where the finishing line is and what they're trying to do. See, they said in the book of Acts, who are these people who have turned the world upside down? It's these people who God has called to turn our world upside down for the glory of God, right? Is this making sense? This is God's heart for people, because He absolutely cares. See, Jesus, that's why Jesus prayed in John 17, that beautiful prayer. And He prayed it not just for the disciples, but He prayed it for those who were coming. He said, my prayer is not for them alone. That's the disciples in the room. But I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's us, because somebody down through the generations has shared the message to us. And so here we are, knowing and loving Jesus. And He says, my prayer is that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe. They may see that God has sent Jesus. A beautiful message of hope, grace. And I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world would know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. This is the final prayer of Jesus, saying, come on, family, come on, church, come on, my body, come on, let's get busy. Let's represent Jesus. Let's be the body of Christ. Let's walk the streets declaring the glory of the Father. Amen. It's not hard, really, is it? It's just being opening to God to say, God, I'm going to my Nineveh. I'm going to do what you've called me to do. I'm going to grab my oar and I'm going to start rowing. I'm going to start pulling for the sake of the gospel. We're going to cross the finishing line with a great shout. With a great shout to the glory of God. With multitudes inspired. Multitudes seeing the glory of the Father. Multitudes knowing He's worthy of serving. He's worthy of honoring. He's worthy of our voices. He's worthy of declaring. We sang earlier, shout Jesus. Well, friends, it's time we started to shout Jesus. Amen. It's time we began to shout His name. Believe Him to do what only He can do. I'm going to ask you to stand. You just stand. I don't know everybody here today. I don't know what's going on in your world or your life. I don't know where you stand with God, but what I do know is that there's a Savior who loves you, who came in order to see your life restored, to see you forgiven, to see love, peace, and purpose invade your life. means surrendering to Him. It means coming simply, making a decision to say, I choose to believe. Jesus came and He died because He paid the price for sin. You say, well, why did He have to do that? It's because every one of us have sinned. God said sin will be judged, because if there's no judgment or no consequence for sin, then there's no such thing as justice. We expect justice in our courts for people who do the wrong thing. We've all done the wrong thing before God, and we'll all pay the price. That's eternal separation from Him. That's separation from love, the very source of love. But He came that we could know Him, that we could know His presence. This is not about religion. Oh, God, save us from religion. This is about relationship, where you can know the presence and the reality of God in your bedroom, in your workplace, in your relationships. You can know Him for who He is, and know His love for you as an individual. He created you individual. He created you special. He created you for a reason and a purpose. To find your purpose, but do it not in your strength, but in His love and grace. To do it with the presence of the precious Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Belmont.